The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
I'm Sasha Shipway and this is The Netball Show with Flyhawk.
On today's episode, I've been speaking to Jenny Sinclair, who's a physio by trade, but she also works for Netball Scoop. Today we unravel all things Suncorp Super Netball and, of course, the upcoming Quad Series. Jenny, welcome to the Netball Show. So it's less than 100 days to go until the sixth season of Suncorp Super Netball. I can't believe that it's the sixth season already. How are you feeling about it? Are you getting excited?
Yeah, I am, Sasha, and hi, thank you very much for having me. Look, I can't believe we're about to put up our Christmas stockings and we're still talking about netball. You know, it wasn't that many years ago when netball was a six-month-a-year proposition and we'd sit around twiddling our fingers. So although it's out while away, you know, there's plenty of netball sort of action coming up in the next couple of months that will hopefully keep us entertained.
Oh, definitely. So, I mean, recently with Suncorp Super Netball, they announced that there will be new Saturday time slots in a bid to make the game more accessible to fans. So with that, we're seeing games at 5 p.m. and 7 p.m, which is Australian Eastern Standard Time, and traditionally they were kind of 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. So for me personally, I'm really happy about that because my own Saturday games will no longer clash with the Suncorp games and it'll be possible to watch the games and make that more sociable in the evening. So what do you make of those changes generally, and also how will it impact you with the time difference in Western Australia as well?
I think the beauty of moving to Fox is that they can stream multiple games at the same time. They did have the flexibility of being able to move matches to a more user-friendly whatever opening Channel 9 had available. So I think it's a really significant move for people that are involved in community sport, play sport themselves, have kids that play sport so that they can watch and attend. As far as West Coast Fever goes, it really doesn't make a lot of difference because most of our games are picked on a Sunday, and so they tend to be around lunchtime or early afternoon games. So, yeah, really not a lot of difference over here, Sasha.
And so the season's going to begin on the 26th of March, 14 regular rounds. The grand final will be on the 2nd of July, and the first netball matches at the Birmingham 2022 Commonwealth Games start on the 29th of July. So you're moving from the 2nd to the 29th of July. What do you think of that turnaround? Is it enough time?
I think it's going to be pretty tough for everybody, particularly the international players that have to get home, get into a camp, possibly even a selection camp. But, you know, it's the world that we live in now. There's just not enough time. Potentially, or in the past, we've seen the SSN sort of split into two halves around that cup in 2019. I don't think that was ideal either because it made it a very long season for all the athletes involved. So at least this way it keeps the season quick, moving along, and there's just limited preparation for everyone that comes out of Australia, basically.
That's quite interesting, actually, and we'll probably touch on that a bit more slightly later on. But so with this, with the deal with Foxtel, we will also see some midweek matches in rounds 4 and 10, which apparently are back by popular demand. So what do you make of those midweek matches along with all of the other changes? Do you think that they will help to bring netball to new fans, as that's the aim, that's what they say they're trying to do?
Absolutely. I mean, I think from a practical point of view, they had to slot in a couple of midweek games just to try and get the season finished in time for the Commonwealth Games, but they did prove quite popular during last year's condensed season, the year before that. So to me, it's part of the week where some fans will perhaps have midweek games going on, but for the most of us, you know, it's a great opportunity just to curl up and watch a game of netty midweek.
I agree with that. Very much looking forward to it. And so before all of the Suncorp Super Netball, we will hopefully be seeing an international quad series if Omicron does not get in the way, so we're hoping that does not happen. So from the 16th to the 20th of January, the Roses will play the Diamonds, Silver Ferns and South Africa. And of course the Diamonds. Stacey Marinkovic recently named her squad. So what do you make of the squad that she named? Perhaps two of the biggest names standing out from those athletes might be Sunday Ariang and Sophie Dwyer. What do you make of that?
I think, first of all, she was wise in selecting a squad of 15 to travel. We just don't know what COVID's doing at the moment. And as we've seen with the loss of Captain Paddy Cummings, you know, it only takes a casual contact and you're ruled out of playing. So, first of all, I think it was smart taking a big squad in her shooting circle. Stacey's hand was forced a little bit in that there's currently a few shooters missing, both Kira Austin and Caitlin recovering from injury. So really the five shooters she selected were the next cabs off the rank. I think Sophie Dwyer is a particularly smart choice. Maybe she's going to be part of the future of the Australian netball team, despite being so young. You know, we saw her step into the breach this year for the Giants and just really didn't skip a beat. You know, she was phenomenal. So I'm excited if she'll get out on court. At the opposite end of it, I think Courtney Bruce, Sarah Clough and Joe Weston have pretty well got their names locked in for the Commonwealth Games team. It's really going to come down to that full position on Sunday. Maddie Turner and then also Kim Bennell to returns from injury. The beauty of Sunday, apart from the fact that she's got this anticipation and can really intercept, she's a very clean defender, and when Australia plays under international umpires, that's something that we've got to be very conscious of. As a great shutdown player, Kim Jenner is a great interceptor, but traditionally both of their penalty counts can be on the high side. So I'm sure that that's something that will get looked at quite closely across the series, and I'd love to see both young debutants out on court.
We've got Liz Watson named as captain with Steph Wood as vice-captain. What do you make of that decision?
I think it was a really smart decision. Universally admired, whether you're an opponent, a fan, and I think she'll bring a lot of great unity to the Australian netball team, because it's been so long since the Australian netball team has played and there's a very time to achieve things. They really need somebody that can bring everybody else along for the ride, and I think that Liz fits that perfectly. She'll bring a very strategic element to the Diamonds, and I think she'll be a great compliment for Liz.
Absolutely, and we can't not talk about Courtney Bruce. She's recently been awarded the Liz Ellis Diamond. So what do you make of her being given that award, and the fact, obviously, you said she's kind of almost one of the sure things about the Commonwealth Games. What do you make about her so far?
It continues to grow every season. You're a little bit hard to judge her international form on the back of format. I think that she's had a lot of experience training against Jeanille Fowler over the years, and her great strength, I think, is perhaps against those tall holding fields. We're going to see her fly out, you know, beautifully for the ball. But that's where she's complemented beautifully Sarah Clough, who, you know, trains a lot against Sammy Wallace, who is traditionally more of a moving shooter. So I think between the two of them, they're going to be a terrific back end. Also seen in the past, both Stacey and Lisa Alexander before her shift either Courtney or Sarah out into that goal defence position and swing Joe Weston sideways, and could be potentially a very difficult defensive unit for opponents to deal with.
Very interesting there. We've touched on it previously, but do you think that the Diamonds heading into the Quad Series will be disadvantaged not having played internationally for a while? Or will they have the element of surprise?
I think it's a bit of both, Sasha. I mean, the element of surprise with the training behind closed doors and the match play behind closed doors is limited opportunities to scout what they're doing and the new players coming in. But overall, we've got to remember that it's not just a new team that's in place, but it's a new team and a support staff team. And so I think overall they're probably more disadvantaged than advantaged, because it can take a while to sort of overcome those wrinkles. And we look at Stacey, for example. She's only had four Diamonds test matches in charge. Jess Phelps is up to 21. So, you know, there's no substitute for the experience of what it's like to play an international test match. So it's tough on the Diamonds, but their attitude at this moment has just got to be that they've got nothing to lose and let's just go for it.
Absolutely. Gosh, that's a really good stat, actually, to know about the caps that both of the coaches have. You're such a wealth of knowledge. I love it. So, I mean, we obviously heard the news recently that Carla Pretorius has just announced that she's pregnant. So congratulations to Carla. It's really interesting because the Sunshine Coast Lightning heavily rely on her. South Africa internationally, who she also plays for, also heavily rely on her. So how much of an impact do you think that both of those teams will have with her absence?
Carla's a major loss, you know, not just for her undoubted skill out in the court, which is phenomenal, but she's also a very quiet leader. And while she is quiet and she prefers to lead by example, she's a player that everyone around looks to lift the team, to unite the team. So South Africa are going to particularly have a few challenges without her, particularly because, you know, we also don't They've had two of their long-term players retire in Holzhausen and Berger. And then we really don't know whether or not Lynese Potgieter is going to be back in action after her recent mental health issues that she's still working through. So Carla's a significant loss. South Africa are a really unknown quantity at the moment. As for the Lightning, you know, there's a great opportunity there for some of their lesser known players to show what they can do and for Katie Anderhane to get some consistent court time.
Absolutely. That's a very good point. Looking forward to seeing her come out a bit more. Today, the day that we're recording this, which is Friday, we've heard the news that Sherelle McMahon has been immortalised with a statue of her to stand in front of the John Cain Arena. This is such amazing news for a netballer to be honoured in this way. What do you make of it?
Yeah, like you, Sasha, I think it's wonderful news for the sport. I think when we first heard that two netball statues were being proposed, I think a lot of people perhaps thought that it might be someone like a Joyce Brown or Norma Plummer, who've not only played for Australia but coached Australia and built the sport over many years. However, Sherelle McMahon's a fabulous choice. You know, she's such an inspirational athlete. She's going on to do some amazing things, and she's somebody that most generations can relate to. So I think she's a great choice, and it'd be a terrific meeting point for netballers to say, you know, meet you next to Sherelle at the G.
Love that. And, I mean, what are you seeing at the moment with the off-season for the Suncorp teams? Are you seeing anything interesting in the way that teams are preparing, or how are you feeling like teams are ramping up to the next season?
I think it's a much shorter pre-season than the last two that we've seen. There's probably a lot going on behind closed doors that we don't see. A couple of teams have got particularly strong social media units that are keeping us entertained, particularly with yesterday's fixture release. You know, the Swifts and Giants came out and did some very funny work, if you haven't checked it out already. So, yeah, there's a lot of team bonding going on in the background and sort of ramping up. This is a real sort of fitness and conditioning stage, and then I expect that they'll be moving into more sharpening up drills and skills as we move into that stage, sort of close to the start of the season.
Bring it on, I say. And, I mean, recently, Netball Scoop, you celebrated 10 years, which honestly is so amazing. I mean, at the Netball Show, we started this podcast in 2017. We felt like there was such a huge gap in the market at that point in time, but you were well ahead of the time with Netball Scoop itself. So I can't believe, you know, 10 years, that's insane. So how did you celebrate, and what else is going on with Netball Scoop at the moment?
Yeah, thank you very much, Sasha. It's been quite a journey for Netball Scoop. And I think over the years, you know, we've just sort of aimed to provide greater global coverage. You know, we're based here in Australia, but, you know, we've aimed to try and bring news from around the world. So hopefully we've achieved that. We've celebrated by sharing, you know, images that beautiful photographers have taken across that time, you know, some testimonials, a few articles that have popped up. So it's been business as usual with just a few little bells added on. Although there's a little bit happening behind the scenes at Scoop at the moment. Currently running a uniform netball Fiji, and this is something that we've been particularly proud of over the last 8 years, is getting second-hand kit to developing nations, you know, across Africa, the Middle East and Asia, the Oceania. So that's underway at the moment. There's a few things going on behind the scenes that we're sort of working towards for next year. Looking at how we work towards the Commonwealth Games, because, you know, again, COVID's going to make our coverage potentially look a little bit different. And then hopefully a little bit of a break for everyone in January, which would be nice.
Oh, definitely. Bring it on. People will be listening to this before Christmas, like crawling to the end of the year. So I think we're all feeling it at the moment.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, brilliant. Well, thank you so much, as always, Jenny. Your insight is just second to none, so I really appreciate your time, and I'm sure the listeners too do too. So thank you very much.
My pleasure, Sasha, and thank you so much for having me, and have a very happy Christmas.
And you too. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Netball Show. I'm Sasha Shipway, and wishing you a very Merry Christmas.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.